We're going to read God's Word from that 91st Psalm, Psalm 91. This Psalm is a very special Psalm.
I don't know if it's special to you, but it's been special to many of God's people over the millennia of time.
And I am one who confesses what a great blessing this psalm has been, as well as that version of it that we have sung first this morning. Let us give our attention carefully to God's holy word, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And what kind of picture does that conjure up in your mind? That in the secret place of the Most High, even being alone with God, just you and God. That's a very special place. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now, we've used some unusual words this morning. We sang in Luther's song, they translated, we sang that word, vouchsafe, which means the Lord really reaching down and giving to us, vouchsafing to us, giving to us. And here is a buckler. It is a type of shield. He is our shield. His truth is our shield. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And you know what a privilege that is to trust the Lord. A pestilence walking in darkness, something you can't see. When you trust in the Lord, you don't have to be afraid of what you can't see. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. You know, the evil one is called the lion who goes about seeking whom he may devour. And he is as a serpent in the Garden of Eden. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. We end our reading there at the close of the psalm, and we praise God for the reality of this psalm of experience, because many of us have seen these very words fulfilled, and even in a measure of giving to us longer life than we ever expected to have, and even seeing the reward of the wicked in verse 8. I think of some of the guys that I used to run around with in my teenage years. Some of them died as those addicted to mind-altering drugs. Very sad. Well, what a reality to see that we see the reward of such wickedness, and what mercy God has had upon us. Though we were no better than the rest, God has shown us mercy. In the spring of the year 1521, Pope Leo X and Charles V, the emperor of the Roman Empire, called for a meeting with Martin Luther. On April 17th of that year, the meeting began in a German city called Worms. Dr. Luther arrived amidst many greetings of numerous supporters that were cheering him as he came into the city. And a lot of his friends had said, "Don't you dare go near the city of Worms." He told them, well, he had nothing to worry about because he'd been promised a safe conduct by the Pope and also a safe conduct by the Emperor. Well, his friends reminded him. So did John Huss 100 years ago. And while they had him there in their midst, they burned him at the stake. Luther went anyway. And when the meeting was over, Luther went out holding his arms up as a sign of victory. His enemies still were planning his destruction as he went out from that diet, from that meeting. They were planning to capture him very soon and carry him to his death. In order to avoid being taken in the city of Worms, Luther and a few of his friends left secretly after dark. On the way home, Luther had a very unsettling experience. As they came to a narrow place in the forest, suddenly several masked armed men on horseback appeared. And they pulled Luther out of his carriage and put him on a horse, and away they went. They zigzagged their way through the forest. And after riding for a long time, they came to the Wartburg Castle. Luther still didn't know who his captors were. They had their faces masked. But you can imagine how relieved he was when he discovered that these several men were some of his friends. Now, isn't that just like the Lord to move so marvelously in His providence? In the most distressful hour, the Lord sends deliverance. I say that truth is stranger than fiction and much more wonderful. This month, in the celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, we've been looking at a few things about the life of Martin Luther. You may remember the first Lord's Day, we considered his honesty, that he didn't try to hide what he was. He didn't rationalize away his sin. He didn't try to say he didn't have fears. He really wanted deliverance, and God gave him that wonderful relief and release. The second Lord's Day, we considered his hope. After coming by faith alone to Christ alone, Luther had great hopes for God's blessing in this world and also in the world to come. Now, last week, we considered his herald, that is, his proclamation. And him being a proclaimer, he proclaimed very boldly the wonderful salvation by grace alone. And now today, from this 91st Psalm, I want us to consider Luther's haven, one letter short of heaven. Luther's haven. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Does that remind you of what he wrote? A mighty fortress is our God. He is our refuge. He's never failing. So today we're looking at Luther's haven in three ways. In the time of his ruination by sin, then in the time of his regeneration, and then in the time of the Reformation. How God was his haven, his keeper, his refuge in all of that. So his haven in ruination. Look with me at verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. What a haven the Lord was to Luther in the time of his ruin by sin. Before he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he was protected. He was kept as a special vessel. We have read in recent weeks of the time that the plague came to Wittenberg, and they brought so many people into their home that were dying, and yet none of the Luther family, neither Martin nor his wife who attended to the sick and dying from the plague, none of their children died of the plague. So isn't that amazing? But God was even caring for young Luther. When he was a boy, he thought the school teachers would literally beat him to death. One day, he was thrashed on 15 different occasions. I think the teacher, when they went to the blackboard, turned around, okay, Martin, it's time for some more. And he would get another beating. 15 beatings in one day. He thought he would die being beaten to death. Well, while in school in Eisenach, he had to sing or beg in the streets for food. And one day, he had gone around the whole neighborhood, knocking on the doors, and nobody would give him a bite. And he was at the point of just giving up. He's going to die of hunger. He's going to starve to death. Well, finally, he went over to another street and he knocked on one more door. And the kind lady of the house, her name was Ursula Kata. And she had pity on young Martin. And thereafter, she said, when you're hungry and can't get anything, you come to my door. So he often went to the door of Ursula Kata to get him a bite to eat. Poor hungry boy. Well, of course, during those years of poor sanitation in Europe, there were often plagues. But God saw to it that Martin was spared. When Martin's young friend was suddenly taken in death, Martin was afraid for himself. But God had a great purpose for him. So even when he severed that artery in his leg with the sword, and when the lightning struck right beside him, God preserved him. He was blessed in that haven of divine providence keeping him. So I say that God was the haven for Luther, even during the years of his ruination, lost in sin. But secondly, Luther's haven in regeneration. Regeneration actually gave Luther, or rather put Luther, into the most secure haven of all, into Christ Jesus. Look at verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou, what? Have faith. Under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Look at verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Look at verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, God says, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. The last few words of the psalm, and show him my salvation. I tell you, when Luther came into that haven by regeneration, coming into Christ, he was set for all eternity. He had heard the priest, when he was a boy, occasionally quote a little snippet of Scripture, maybe even part of a verse. It wasn't very often that the priest would quote in Latin even a verse of Scripture. One day Luther came across a Bible in the library, and he was so surprised and delighted. He had never seen a Bible. He was amazed at the size of this book. It was so large, and yet he had only heard a few words from it. Why was that? So he began curiously to read that Latin Bible, the Vulgate. The Holy Scriptures were to become a haven for Luther's intellect and his reason. Rather than basing his life on the contradictory claims of the popes and of the church councils, Luther would rest his mind in the haven of Holy Scripture. And after years of reading and studying the Scriptures, Martin Luther came one day to that verse in Romans 1:17. Those words, "the just shall live by faith." What does that mean? He pondered it. What can this be? These very words became the haven for Luther's soul, his life, and his eternity. He understood as he pondered those words and as he studied them in other parts of the Scripture that justified people do not just live by faith, not just daily trusting in God, but it is through faith that living men are justified or accounted as righteous before God. He thought about it. And the faith that justifies gives real life that's worth living. Here indeed was Luther's haven in regeneration when he understood that God saves, that God justifies sinners. How? By bestowing upon them the gift of faith. We read that a while ago. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith didn't come from you or me, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Wow. That faith is the gift of God. Luther said when he realized that, "Thereupon I felt altogether born again, and I entered through the open gates of paradise." He had come into that haven, that everlasting haven. Now I ask you this morning, do you understand what happened to him? Do you know by personal experience? Because it's happened to you. Do you know the release from the gnawing guilt of your own sins? We talked about it a little in Sunday school this morning. I remember that night so clearly as my father was questioning me about my soul. All I could face was knowing guilt. And for the next 17 years, that was all I could face, was gnawing guilt. I was 8 years old at that time. Do you know the relief from hopelessness? Do you know relief from doubt? And from all your fears? Oh, I tell you, when you come to the point of being released from that bondage, it's meaningful. It's something you don't forget. When Luther wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God, a refuge or a haven never failing is Christ Jesus, who alone delivers or saves us from the floods of woes and mortal ills that prevail in this world. That's what he's talking about. This is real. It is reality. Is it that in your life? Do you know the haven of regeneration? To be born of God. Well, Luther's haven in ruination, his haven in regeneration, we come finally to his haven in reformation. It was the awesome triune God who was his haven. Notice verse 8. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Look down at verse 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. I'm going to tell you something right there. It is because of what God did with Luther that in the early editions of the Authorized Version, they would have that man of sin has received such a wound that he will not recover. And it was Luther giving us the Word of God for the people of Europe so that he would tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. And the King James translators were saying that man of sin, the Pope, has been so trodden down by the Word of God. And it was God using Luther. Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. How can you explain this preservation that Luther experienced in any other way than to say it was God taking care of him? Now, God moved in the heart of Frederick, the Elector of Saxony, to devise a plan after the Diet of Worms for Luther's capture and his being taken to a haven. But old Frederick did not know all the details. Neither did he want to know all the details. He left it up to his soldiers. He said, take him to a safe place and keep him there. He didn't want to know because he knew that the emperor was going to question him about Luther's whereabouts. So he wanted to be able to honestly, even if he was under torture, not be able to give the facts where he was. So, what a blessing it was he devised that plan. The emperor had put out an edict for anyone finding Luther after the Diet of Worms to just kill him on the spot. So Luther's captor told him to grow his beard and to let his hair cover his bald head. Now, he could do that because his head was shaved, but I don't care how many captors told me that. I couldn't do it. But Luther actually grew his hair out and covered that bald head, and he grew that beard, and he spent, after a few weeks, you'd hardly recognize the man who was then going by the name Knight George. In German, it was Junker George. And he was dressed as a knight. And he stayed in that mighty stronghold castle from May the 4th of 1521 to March the 1st, 1522. Now the Wartburg was the castle. In German, it meant guardian fortress. And it was a huge castle on a huge cliff way, way up there. It was a place, it had been somewhat abandoned, but it was a stronghold. And he was kept there. And God had brought Luther to that safe haven for many reasons. Think about these reasons. Why God put him there. In 3 months' time, Luther had translated the whole Greek New Testament of Erasmus into the German language. And Luther's New Testament today is still the best German Testament. Why is it that? Because of his majestic diction, his full vocabulary, his natural down-to-earth language, and thus he explained the profound sacred truths of God's holy word for his German people. 3 months' time, he had translated the whole Greek New Testament. Now, it took some more years till they got the whole Bible done. He had some help later on. But in God's providence, the Lord had put him there. He had removed the one man from the German Reformation that God had used to start it. Why did he remove him? For nearly a whole year. So that at that time, many others would rise up and take over his responsibilities. Philip Melanchthon was one of those, but many others stood up to serve and to spread the truth. Thus, the work was not merely one man's labor, but it was many working and spreading the gospel over Germany. It is God's work, and not one person is indispensable. None of us are indispensable. God, in His sovereignty, raises up one and puts down another. His work continues from generation to generation. So never fear. What did Luther say at the end of that hymn, A Mighty Fortress? His kingdom is forever, from generation to generation. He will carry it on. God thus humbles His servants, and He shows that the work is His, lest men think too highly of their leaders. And lest the leaders think too highly of themselves. Because what happens to men when they think it's about them? They begin to trust themselves rather than trusting in the living God through much prayer. One of the brethren in our last week of prayer brought out something that I had never considered. He said, how can we be so arrogant and so self-centered as not to pray? Because if we're not praying, we are saying in a very real sense, I can do this. I can handle this. Let us beware then of making idols of leaders. Let us beware of even making idols of ourselves. God provided a haven for Luther all during the time of his ruin and sin. And what a haven Luther found in Christ Jesus from his oppressing guilt. What a gracious relief and release Luther found in Christ alone, by faith alone. Once he entered upon the Reformation, Luther expected to die a martyr's death. He expected to die young. That's the reason he didn't want to get married. Why should I get married and then my wife grieve over me immediately because I'm going to be killed? Well, Luther actually lived much longer than he thought he would. He lived to age 62. And what does the Lord say about those that find their refuge in Him? You notice there in verse 16, with long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. It was the Lord's doing. I mean, when you got the command given to a whole empire, anybody that finds Him kills him. You know? Okay? Now, you, my friend, this morning, neither you nor I know the day of our death. It could be very soon. People of all ages are dying around us every day. So you must be prepared for that hour by making sure, by making certain that you are in Christ, that your life is hid with Christ in God. Luther, in a very special way, gave us the Bible. He gave the Bible to Europe. He gave the Bible to us and to all the generations following. The Bible in the language of the people. What does it do? It turns men from trusting in the Pope to trusting in Christ, the eternal Son of God and our Savior. So what should we do with this great gift that has been vouchsafed or given to us? We should read it and study it and obey it every day. Let us pray together. Our gracious Father, we are thankful for what Thou hast done. We praise Thee that Thou didst demonstrate so clearly that the work is Thine, that it's not our work, it's not our church, but it is the work of Christ. So Lord, we pray that Thou wilt seal these words to our hearts. Oh, Thou mighty God of providence, we pray that Thou wilt let everyone here know the experience of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, of abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. O Lord, complete that psalm in our lives and show us Thy salvation. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.